It's a beautiful day for you and me to be here and to have holy worship, to be lifted on higher ground through word, song, prayer, in the company of other believers, so that we could hear more clearly what God is saying and then act upon that as followers of Jesus. Your presence is important to me and I think for you. As we go into our text and then we have that wonderful mealtime together in about 15, 20 minutes, depending on how long I talk. And but I encourage you to, if you, in front of you should be a pamphlet, the Sacred Stained Glass Windows. We're on our second lesson series today. If you missed last week, that's fine. Every one of these lessons stand on their own. Last week, we looked at these two panels where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, I am the gate or I'm the doorway. And if you remember, some of you may remember, I saw Jesus and we see Jesus as a very practical theologian, one who's trying to disclose to you and me the very nature of God. He's best to do that because for you and me, he's the Son of God. Who best can tell us about the Father than Jesus himself? That distinguishes you and me from all other religions of the world. Because there are many people around the world who understand Jesus to be a good man, to be a teacher, a prophet. But for you and me as followers of Jesus, we believe that he is the very Son of God, and we get to know the Father because of the Son. And especially what he said and did draws us ever closer to God. And last week when Jesus said, I am the door, I am the gate, I think you remember my referencing to that is that, man, we live in a world that has a whole lot of doors, don't we? Our home has a lot of doors. This church has a lot of doors. Your workplace has doors. Your car has two or four doors. And I encouraged you from the practical point of view that every door you go through this past week, you remember Jesus. And today we're going to talk about these two panels. First, what Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I am the Alpha and the beginning. And then the second panel would be what Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And we receive and are full. This booklet will have those in there, so if you haven't found them, just keep looking. Your left one will have the Jesus, I am the bread of life, and then the Alpha and the Omega is beside that. Let us pray. Gracious Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you. We're humbled when we come into your presence. We thank you that that's even made more possible because of Jesus. And it's in his holy name we pray. Amen. This series is predicated on Jesus' statement, I am. Let me make a connection. Some of you may have already picked up on this. If you haven't, then this will reconnect you to go way, way back in human history. In the Old Testament, people who loved God, who cared about God, had a hard time giving him a name. In fact, we are told in Old Testament that the people of the day didn't know what to call him. So God says, call me Yahweh. Yahweh. I am who I am. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus arrives, thousands and thousands of years later, he refers to himself in wonderful teaching, I am. And God keeps on talking. God keeps on revealing. I think all of us have a sensitivity towards beginnings and endings. I've been here 5 years. I knew when I came that there will be a time where I will move on. I knew before you knew that my moving on would be retirement. And several months ago, before I made that declaration, or since then, I've had several people come up to me and talk to me about retiring, about transition, about endings. And they've given me with great wisdom how to finish well, how to end well. We have students here today who've already contemplated endings, have you not? You're on the verge of completing another school year, matriculating, moving on. You had a beginning. Oh, isn't it good to have an ending of a school for a year, huh? Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Beginnings and endings. Jesus is saying here, when I am the Alpha and the Omega, he's talking about the Greek alphabet, Alpha and the Omega. If he was here today, he would say what? I am the what? I am the A and the Z of life. I am the bookends. I was there in the beginning, and I am still here. And guess what? When things come to completeness, to fullness, I am still there. He's been a part of human history. John, the gospel writer, made that clarified that for us when he uses the word, and God spoke. The word of God, God spoke, and everything came to be. I am who I am, God says. I thought it was intriguing that in the Greek form, once again, the word is logos. And Jesus is referred to be that logos. He is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is God's full disclosure. The A to Z, the beginning and the end. And so Jesus is saying, I have been a part and will continue to be a part of human history. Emmanuel, God with us. The fullness of God. Let's take a moment and look at our referencing to Jesus' I am. We refer to this in your booklet as Pentecost window. It was the giving of Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit amongst us is predicated with creation and then Emmanuel and then the indwelling of Spirit. And so, as in all of our panels up here in this display, we have in the background the cross, or a portion of the cross. So you see here this panel at the top, you see the formation of the cross. Jesus is in the center of this stained glass. The dove descending upon Jesus, the referencing of the visibility of that presence of Holy Spirit on Christ is seen in the golden circular motions around behind Jesus' head. We have the 12 expressions of fire or tongues of fire. And so on this one, it's a little more When you look, and I encourage you all, if you can't see the panel, that when the service is over with, you come up and look a little more closely. But the this has it. But when you come up here and you see the sun shining through, that fire, that really does look like fire coming out at you. And there's 12 of those. That's a reference to the 12 disciples. We being now disciples, we are set afire. We have Holy Spirit. And then to bring into our attention the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha here would be the green A that's now shouldered on Jesus and comes down the front, not unlike this stole. So Jesus has this green stole on, and it's in the form of Alpha A. And then the Omega is the blue. And if you look closely, and this picture shows it, again, it's more brilliant in the panel itself, is the creation, early creation of the heaven. You have stars, you have a moon, you have the shooting star. And so Jesus, again, when he says, I am, I'm there from the start, and I'm there at the ending, and all in between. And we now live now in the in-between. Our second I am stained glass window is referred to as the Easter window, or we also know it to be I am the bread of life window. Jesus saying to his friends, I am sustenance. Earlier when he said I am the Alpha and the Omega, he discloses the fullness of God. Now when he talks about I am the bread of life, he's saying he fills us up. He sustains. Let me make another Old Testament reference, because I think it's important to see the connections that Jesus makes with the friends of his day and for you and me. The Old Testament says, oh, man shall not live, what? By bread alone, but what? By every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I am the words. I am Logos. There's nothing that God said that I haven't already said and done for you. And so now he's saying that, oh, it is said that you can't live but just bread, but every word that comes from the mouth of God, guess what? I'm not only the bread of life, but I am all the words that God has to say. And so for Jesus, it was critically important that he let his friends know that he's disclosing everything about God, and we should be appreciative of that. There are many kinds of bread. I'm going to count to three. When I finish counting three, I want you to call out your favorite bread. Favorite bread form. Now, if you're gluten-free, you know what bread you like, so just call it out. One, two, three. Biscuits. I was torn between biscuits and croissants. But I had biscuits last night, so I've been thinking more about biscuits than I have about croissants. Now, in Jesus' day, the bread of choice was more than not unleavened, pita bread, wonderful bread. Go there now to Israel, lavash, whatever bread they'd have, I mean, it's delicious. But I'm saying this to you, that if Jesus was here today and he was saying to you and me, up front and personal, I am the bread of life, he would say, he would go ahead and unpack that for you. Whatever bread just kind of gets you on the edge of your seat, that's the bread Jesus is. Jesus is the biscuit of my life.
That sounds funny, doesn't it? I didn't know how funny that was until I said it earlier.
Jesus is the croissant of my life.
It's becoming, it's interesting. I went out to eat the other day, and I, for years and years, I'd picked a place. Well, Carol and I would be in discussion, so it wasn't always just my doing. But we would arrive at the place that we wanted to eat, and often it was determined by who had the best bread. You know, once you sat down, what they bring out to you. You know, and I enjoy Tex-Mex now, because you know you can get all that, all those tacos, you know, and just dip that into the sauce, and that would be, you know, that's bread of life. Jesus would, I'm the taco of your life. But you know, I've noticed now you can go to a lot of eating places and they don't put bread out anymore. You have to ask for it. I thought that was odd. Do y'all think that's odd? Yeah. I'm not suggesting that we rebel, you know, but, you know, that would be too gauche of me to do that, for me to do that. But I started thinking about this this week, and it made sense to me. And it really is applicable to Jesus's presentation of himself, the I am. I am the bread of life. Jesus, what he did for you and me when his body was broken and his blood shed was for all humanity, past, present, and future. No question in my mind. God did that for us when he sent his son. So it's there on the table. But there's something about this bread of life that is becoming more clear to me, and that is we as people have to, by volition, by will, say, I want it. I want it. It's there. But we have to want it. We have to receive it. There's something symbolic when you come to take communion here in a few minutes that the person serving you will break the bread and give it to you. Your position is just, I'm open to it. I'm here to receive. I want it. I need it. So when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, he's offering himself, and we say, yes. I know the beautiful Old Testament connection with the bread of life. The Israelites have now come out of bondage. We know they've been in the desert now, in the wilderness, for quite some time, and they're getting hungry, and they begin to squabble and nip at Moses' heels. And in so many words, they say to Moses, hey, as bad as we had it in Egypt, at least we had food to eat. And we struggle now. And Moses took that concern to Almighty God. And what did God provide? Huh? What do we call it? Manna. Manna. If you were to go into the wilderness today, I've been in that portion of God's world. There's a plant that in the morning time, because of the evening dew, at the fork of every branch, there's a wafer that is formed. And it tastes like bread. And God provided. And the people had the bread of life. Just for one more moment, let's carry that story even further. How long did that manna last?
One day.
Each and every day, the Israelite became dependent upon Almighty God. And Jesus now offers himself to you and me, I would say unequivocally, for all time. But Jesus makes it upfront and personal. And he says, I want to be your bread of life each and what? Every single day.
Yes, my body was broken once and for all on the cross. But every day, Jesus would be saying to you and me as we eat our bread, our biscuits, our croissants, our whole wheat bread, our white sliced bread, our gluten-free, whatever you're eating, Jesus would be saying, my body broken for you. My blood shed for you. And each and every day, Jesus lives into his promise, my friends. And he helps you and me to be full. Full of love, full of grace, full of peace. In a few moments, we will come to this table. You'll probably eat again later today. You'll probably eat several meals this coming week. So once again, Jesus is the practical theologian who's disclosing something more about his Heavenly Father. Every time you eat of your bread this week, say thank you to Jesus. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.